the Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which, according to his abundant mercy, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope, a living hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you. Well, with that passage from 1 Peter, I welcome you to today's edition of Exploring the Word. This is a very special edition because on Tuesdays, we take prayer requests. And as you may know, in the third segment, we take all kinds of Bible questions, but we also take prayer requests today. So we'd love to hear from you. But it's also a very special day because we're going to pick up in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. But I am sitting beside a great friend and colleague of mine, Dr. Stephen Evans of First Baptist Church, Carthage, Mississippi. He's one of the ones that helped organize the Leake County Crusade, and I've got the great honor, what a privilege, to be in Carthage, Mississippi, sharing the gospel. We're having a great time already, and he's agreed to be with us. Bert Harper is traveling. Bert will be back, but while Bert is traveling, Stephen Evans is with us, and brother, I just want to say welcome to Exploring the Word.
Thank you, Alex. It's an honor to be on your program today.
Well, you're a good sport because I kind of corralled you. And I said, Dr. Evans, may we use your office to set up? We have this portable gear. And he said, sure, you can use my office. I said, oh, and by the way, will you be on with me? And so thank you.
It's a great joy to be here.
Well, before we go too far into 1 Peter, I want you to hear this, folks. I've known Stephen Evans a decade at least. And God is using you. This is just one of the great churches that I have had the privilege of preaching in. Tell us about First Baptist, what God is doing. And for those out there in churches all across America, maybe give a word of encouragement about the state of their church.
Well, you know, this is a wonderful congregation. This is actually my first pastorate. I actually started here as the associate pastor, and I was the youth pastor, And 4 years after I got here, our former pastor retired, Dr. Eddie Hamilton, and the church approached me and asked me if I would consider being the pastor. And so I prayed about it, my wife and I, and the rest is history. We've been here 17 and a half years.
Wow.
And so
what a testimony.
It's a wonderful church. They have loved us. You know, one of the things that was really scary to me, I guess you'd say, if you want to put it that way, was coming from a youth background, how would the senior adults respond to me as pastor? And I want to tell you, they have just loved me and just been one of the best groups in our church. And so, but we have a really wonderful congregation here, very loving, very kind congregation, great people.
It is a great congregation. It's been my joy to be here a couple of times before. And, you know, I want to commend you for following God's leading. I was a youth pastor too for 11 years, and then God moved me really to be like an itinerant evangelist. But say a word out there to the person serving the Lord, and that they've found a niche they're strong in, but maybe God even has bigger things for them than they envision for themselves.
Yeah. You know, my seminary professor, youth ministry professor, Dr. Alan Jackson, once told us youth ministers one time, he said, give God permission to change your vocation, your ministry. And at that time, I really thought I would be a lifer, is what we used to call it in the youth ministry.
Sure.
But God led me in a different direction. And so I'm really excited to be here at First Baptist, though. It's a great place.
Amen. Amen. Well, I'm excited to be here. And there is an event we do. And by the way, if you happen to be in the region, Carthage, Mississippi, it's not that hard to get here. And we'll be starting again tonight at 6 p.m. in the school just down the street from First Baptist Church. We're in the school auditorium. So you can come. There's going to be great music. The first night, there was music from William Carey University. Last night, amazing praise music from Blue Mountain Christian University. Dr. Barbara McMillan is a great friend, and I had the privilege of speaking there a year ago in their Spiritual Emphasis Week. By the way, the singers, the students, they were fantastic. Who's doing our music tonight, by the way?
There's a group called Promised, and it's just three members, and they're going to be leading us tonight. And of course, we're going to hear a great message from you, so we're excited about tonight.
Well, I'm honored to preach the gospel. You know, when churches come together, the Spirit of the Lord is in the midst. I mean,
amen.
A lot of different churches, but we all come together and rally around the message of Jesus.
That's right.
And I think God is pleased with that.
I do too. And we have a wonderful group of churches here in Leake County, led by our associational mission strategist, Dr. Jay Cook. And he does a great job in our association, but doing events like this is what the body of Christ is all about. It's about bringing everybody together and serving the Lord together. And we're just excited about what God is doing this week. So far, we've had five salvation decisions. We've
Amen.
Had a number of other decisions, people coming to the altar. The altar's been full every night.
Amen.
It's just been a great start to this week.
Well, do you know what? And listen, I give God the glory. Back in the spring, it was the week of Palm Sunday. We did a citywide evangelistic crusade near Birmingham, Alabama. And just, I've been on the radio talking about our time here in Carthage, and we got a call from North Carolina that they want to do an evangelistic crusade next spring. So, it's almost like ministry and fruit breeds more opportunities, doesn't it?
Amen.
Now, I want to get into 1 Peter, but I want to talk about Israel. You've
yes.
been to Israel, and
yes.
you've actually done live streams from Israel, haven't you?
I did a couple. We did one one Sunday morning. I did a live stream to our church here and actually made announcements standing on Megiddo and with Nazareth in the background, the Jezreel Valley. It was very special, very neat. A good friend of mine, Greg and Lana Wagner, who went with us,
yes.
who actually organized this trip, they were filming and videoing me. And so we were broadcasting right here into the sanctuary of our church on that morning.
And you were in the Holy Land.
And I was in the Holy Land.
That had to be pretty special.
It's pretty neat. I've actually still got that video on my phone.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we live in such great times of opportunity for the gospel and technology. And one more thing before we get into 1 Peter, I would say with events of recent months and even the last couple of weeks, I think people are spiritually hungry.
I do too.
I went up to the store to put gas in my rental car and got in a gospel conversation with some of the folks up there. I was telling them about the crusade. And a lady asked me, she goes, what do you think happens after we die? And I said, well, I can tell you what the Word of God says.
Yeah.
I said, and so we go to the Word of God, and I begin to share the gospel. Speak, if you would, to just the state of the world. I truly think, Stephen, that people are ready for the gospel. I think we have maybe some of the greatest gospel opportunity of our lifetime.
I agree with you 100%. I mean, just think about what happened Sunday afternoon in Arizona.
Yeah.
And they,
the memorial service.
Yes, for Charlie Kirk. And they say that some 100 million people were streaming that. And then there's another 60,000-70,000 plus there at the stadium. I got to watch a little bit of it, but then had to come over to the crusade and get ready. But you just saw, when they were panning the crowd, you just saw people yeah. with their hands lifted up, just worshiping. People who had never been to church before were saying, hey, I'm going to start going to church. People had never picked up a Bible,
yeah.
ordering Bibles. And so I feel like this is going to be, hopefully, a great spiritual awakening in our country.
Folks, if you watch the Charlie Kirk Memorial, and I would encourage you to do that, it's all over the internet. If you go on YouTube, and it is about 4 hours. I know that's a big chunk of video. Watch it. I mean, it's very, for one thing, my friend of 30 years, Frank Turek, is on there. Yeah. Frank and I go way back. In fact, I was a youth pastor when I first got to know Frank Turek, and we were doing little youth things, apologetics for 6 and 8 teenagers, But Frank Turek shared the gospel so powerfully. And there's a minister that comes out really early in the Charlie Kirk Memorial. His name is Rob McCoy, and his son, Michael McCoy, I was texting this morning. Well, very first thing in Charlie Kirk's memorial, Rob McCoy comes out and shares the gospel. And he says, look, Charlie was all about getting people saved, and he was. And he says, look, if you're a born-again believer, stay seated. But if you want to receive Jesus and you want to know that you're saved, I'm going to lead in a prayer. I want you to stand up. And all around that arena in Arizona Sunday, 73,000 people, they said hundreds and hundreds, maybe thousands stood up. And
it was amazing to see.
Yeah. So God is at work. And let me just encourage you. One of the things that First Peter deals with is bearing up under suffering, because God is in control, folks. The devil is not going to prevail. The Bible says in John chapter 1 that the light shined in the darkness and the darkness could not overcome it. Now, till we get to heaven, we're on a rocky path down here in this fallen. Am I right?
That's right, brother.
Yeah. But look, King Jesus prevails, and we in Christ are victors as well.
You know, I think about something Jesus told us. He said, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And so that's a great encouragement, should be a great comfort to any of us who follow Christ, that no matter what we face, no matter what we go through, Jesus has overcome. And he will give us the strength. He will give us the ability to bear up under any difficulty or struggle that we face.
You know, 1 Peter 1, we've been gone up through verse 7, and it talks about that we have this inheritance that cannot fade away, kept by Jesus. And it says in verse 7, the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus. Folks, nothing is wasted. No matter what you go through, as a believer, you will grow. Ultimately, you put it in Christ's hands, and it will strengthen you. And there's reward in heaven. Now, regarding Jesus Christ, verse 8 begins, whom, having not seen, you love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith. And that's the word telos, the purpose, the outcome, the design, the result of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. There's something just so beautiful about this, Stephen. Jesus, whom we've not seen, and yet we know he is the most real thing in our life, isn't he?
Amen. You know, I think about something when I was reading this, and he talks about our faith being more precious than gold, though it's tested by fire. I tell our folks sometimes at First Baptist, for every principle in the New Testament, there's an illustration in the Old Testament.
Okay.
And what I was thinking about when I read this about being tested by fire, I thought about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, whose faith was literally tested by fire when King Nebuchadnezzar and the fiery furnace. And so that was a thought that I had when I saw this. And these guys were truly, you know, he said, you know, he had the golden image there that he wanted them to bow down to. And he said, when you hear the music play, you have this opportunity to do that. And they said, you know, we're not going to serve your gods. We're going to, we're not going to bow before this image. And so, so they didn't. And of course, you know, we know the story. They're thrown into the fiery furnace. Of course, the Lord was with them. Mm-hmm. And I thought about that. I thought, you know, these guys were willing to die for their faith. And, you know, when Charlie was assassinated, that you heard that a lot. People kept talking about, well, you know, Charlie was willing to die for his faith. He was a very outspoken Christian. But I got to thinking about something. You know, if you were to ask most believers today, go into your church and ask them, and say, would you be willing to die for your faith? Most, if not all, would say.
We've got a break.
Okay.
We've got a break.
I want you to picture this. Her name is Kayla. She is 17, alone, terrified, and pregnant. Sitting in a clinic, tears blurring, thinking abortion is her only option. Until she was offered a free ultrasound, paid for by a hero just like you. The moment Kayla heard her baby's heartbeat, the decision was made, and today her little baby boy, Gabriel, is thriving because her preborn walked with Kayla every step of the way. Now, multiply that by 38,000. That's how many babies preborn has helped save just this year. How many mothers preborn has come alongside with practical and spiritual resources to make motherhood possible? But here's the most important thing you will hear today. Their goal is to save 70,000 by the end of the year. And they can't do it without us. Every $28 provides the ultrasound the moment everything changes. Will you be the reason the next Kayla chooses life? The reason Gabriel fulfills his destiny? To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. So give me faith like Daniel in the lion's den. Give me hope like Moses in the wilderness. Give me a heart like David, Lord, be my defense. So I can face my giants with confidence.
Oh, you can face your giants with confidence. Welcome back. That's a good song to bring us back in. Alex McFarland here. I'm along with my friend and colleague, Stephen Evans, First Baptist Carthage. And in just a couple of hours, actually, the third night of the Leak County Evangelistic Crusade will begin. I want to ask you to pray. Since Tuesday is a day of prayer request, no matter where you are, please be in prayer that the Spirit of God will move. As we have seen in the last 2 days, people are getting saved. Christians are coming to the altar to pray for revival, recommitment, and Stephen and I were talking in the first segment. People are getting back in church. So God is moving. And folks, God wants to move where you are in your neighborhood, in your community, and God wants to work through you. So keep us in prayer, and we will later on in the show. We're in 1 Peter right now, but we take prayer requests on Tuesdays, and so I'm going to give that number, even though we're not going to open up the phone for another 10 or 12 minutes, but the number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840, and we would love to hear from you if you've got a Bible question or a prayer request. Now, before the break, I steamrolled you.
Yeah.
But we had a break.
Sometimes you have to tell us preachers when to be quiet.
I can't order a hamburger in under 30 minutes. But you were talking about bearing up under life's trials as a believer.
And I was talking, you know, just about the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, they said, well, we feel like God's going to deliver us. We believe he will. But even if he doesn't, we're not going to bow down. And so these guys were prepared to die if need be. Mm-hmm. And I thought about that. You know, we ask people, would you be willing to die for Christ? The question to me is, are you willing to live for him? Mm-hmm. Because in my opinion, if you're not willing to live for the Lord, more than likely, you're not going to be prepared to die for him. And I think that's important. And I think the believers in that Peter were talking to, some of them were, and they were facing severe persecution for their faith, and they were facing that testing of their faith.
Yeah.
You know, were they going to bow down? Were they going to stay true to their faith?
Yeah. Well, you know, throughout church history, there have been martyrs, Stephen in the book of Acts. And, you know, I personally believe that our friend and brother Charlie Kirk really was a martyr. But here's the thing. God doesn't ask every one of us to die for him, although we would be willing. But he does ask us to be in church on Sunday.
Right.
I mean, that's
He wants
Hebrews
us to live for him, right?
Exactly. Yeah. We are to love and forgive and pray. Luke 18:1, always pray and not give up. We're to read the Bible and live by God's word. Hebrews 10:25, and Brother Stephen, I am not a legalist. I'm not. But I do think part of being a disciple is to be a member and a participant in a local body of believers.
Amen.
I think if you're a Christian individual, you are also a Christian corporate.
Right.
And so here's the thing, everybody. You might have to someday lay down your life for the gospel, but right now, every day, we're to live for Jesus.
Live for the gospel, that's right.
Yes, we are. Now, 1 Peter, great encouragement. I love this book, and Jeff Shambly and I began yesterday, and we were talking about how the Apostle Peter, it's so deep. And verse 9 talks about the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is amazing. Verse 10, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it is testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Now, what does this mean? I'm going to tell you from Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 lists all these people from the Old Testament. It's very often been called the Faith Hall of Fame.
Yes.
Abraham, Samson, Barak, all these people. And it said, whom not having received the promise, believed. Now, what does that mean? All right, look, you think about the saints of old. They didn't have a fraction of the revelation that you and I have been given. I mean, they knew a little bit. They were called to look for the Messiah that would come. We look back at the Messiah that did come. But here's the reason it says the prophets, they diligently wanted to know the full story of the grace that would come. See, here's the thing, and I want to throw it to you. We know Christ was born in Bethlehem, sinless, walked on water, healed the sick, raised the dead, proved his deity. He died on the cross, rose again. We know the tomb is empty. Don't we have every incentive? I mean, we know the whole big story. Even Israel is back in their land. Christ is coming again. We have every incentive to live full out for Jesus.
Right. It's amazing when you think about the things that we know now.
Yeah.
And like you said, the prophets longed to know the things that we know today. And if you go on there a little further, you'll see he talks about the angels' desire to look into these things.
Yeah.
And I love what Charles Swindoll says about that. He says, you know, if the angels longed to look into the hope that we have, shouldn't we?
Mm.
You know, how much more should we? And so it's incredible to think that they long for those things that we now look back on. We can see it all. We're kind of looking in the rearview mirror now, looking back.
Yeah.
They were looking forward.
Yeah. You know, I think about, because, yes, angels are real. Angels are all around us. I think when we get to heaven, and by the way, one of the favorite books I love to recommend, and you know, Bert and I, we kind of have this rule, we never recommend a book unless we ourselves have read it at least once. Billy Graham's book on angels. The stories of angels ministering spirits to the elect of God's salvation. I think when we get to heaven, we're going to find out things that angels did maybe to intervene and protect. But, you know, it does say that the angels desired to look into these things. And I don't know, maybe the way that sometimes we treat the things of God very callous, ignoring the Bible, neglecting the Bible, neglecting prayer. And I just wonder if the holy angels that they watch the behavior of carnal Christians, and they're probably horrified.
You know, the fact that they long to look into these things, and yet we see these things, and they're recorded for us in Scripture, the mystery of the gospel, you know, all of this.
Mm-hmm.
And yet so many of us take it for granted. And I think that's what's amazing to me, to see what's happening right now in our country, is that maybe, just maybe, God's fixing to do something in our country where people are going to want to long for these things and start coming back to God and live for him.
You know, I was in Africa the first of several trips, actually 24 years ago. And I took a couple of Bibles with me. And one was a study Bible, a cross-reference study Bible. And we were out in the bush country. I've told this story, but my point is we're very blessed and we shouldn't take it for granted. But I asked this Zambian pastor through an interpreter, how may I pray for you? And he talked, and I said to the interpreter, you know, what did he say? And he said, well, he's learning English. He's becoming proficient in English, and he's praying that someday he could get a study Bible. And I said, okay. Hang on. And I went to my duffel bag and I gave him the study Bible. I'm not trying to pat myself on the back. But this man fell to the ground weeping, Stephen. And he held it in his hands like it was just this unbelievable object. And he wept tears of joy. He had a Bible of his own.
Wow.
And I think about here in America where we have half a dozen on the bookshelf. Folks, I'm not trying to beat us up. I'm just simply saying we're so blessed.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there are people in this world that long for what we Christian Americans have. And let's not take it for granted. The Lord has blessed us, but to be a blessing,
right,
to know God's word and to be a witness. And every day that the dear Lord wakes us up and gives us another day, I mean, that's another day to walk with and for Christ,
that's
right, isn't it?
Amen. Amen.
Amen. By the way, this is Exploring the Word. Alex, if you're just tuning in, our dear guest, Pastor Stephen Evans from Carthage First Baptist. We're going to take prayer requests in just a moment. If you want to call in with a Bible question or a prayer request, Tuesdays we pray together, and it's 888-589-8840. But verse 11, when is the Lord coming, the sufferings and the glory that should follow? Verse 12, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves but unto us they did minister things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. That was Pentecost, which things the angels desire to look into, as you mentioned. So the gospel has been revealed. Christ has come. We call that the incarnation, that God enfleshed himself. When Jesus was born, it was God coming onto the stage of human history. And the prophets predicted it. The scriptures pointed to it. Jesus, that was truth personified, God incarnate. You know, Stephen, I've always loved, you know, what an aha moment when Jesus was with the woman at the well, and she said, we know that when Messiah comes, he will teach us all things. And Jesus says, I that speak unto you am he. Wow. That was an aha moment, wasn't it?
Incredible. Yes. It's amazing that, you know, we get to, like you said, we get to look back and see these things that the prophets couldn't see. Mm-hmm. And now we get to look back and see Jesus with the woman at the well, blind Bartimaeus, Mary and Martha, Lazarus.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we get to see all of these things, Pentecost. It's amazing.
Well, you know, I think about this, the faith of the early church. I like church history, and I've enjoy reading about church history. Okay, Pentecost happened. Peter preached, and 3,000 souls were saved. But for the next, really, 300 years of the early church, there was intense Jewish, Greek, and Roman persecution. And yet, they kept on persevering. The gospel was passed on to every generation. The gospel began to spread to Europe. The gospel really spread throughout Europe and what is now Britain and Wales. And then the colonists came over here in 1587. You know, I got to say, if we had been there, think about this, folks. If you had been there in the first two centuries during all that persecution, Christ has risen. Christ has ascended to heaven. But I think it's a miracle of God the church didn't die out. And kudos to them that were willing. I mean, they didn't have a Christian radio. They didn't even have a Bible they could go to the store and buy. And yet, in faith, They stayed with it.
Right.
And we're the beneficiaries of their obedience.
Amen. Yes, we are. And thankful for those folks that went before us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So my point, we cannot drop the ball, folks. First of all, I hope you're a believer. And if you've never put your faith in Christ, then by all means do that today. Jesus is as close by as a prayer. Be saved. But as a believer, pray, grow, serve, witness. We have every reason. I kind of think of any generation of Christians, I mean, we've got all the tools in the toolkit we could possibly need, plus the indwelling Holy Spirit, the empowerment of the Spirit of God, prayer, and if we need them, Billy Graham's gospel tracts.
Right.
I mean, we've got the toolkit, don't we?
Basically, what you're saying, Alex, is we have no excuse.
Exactly. So we live for that great commission. And if you would, read verse 13, Stephen.
Verse 13 says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ.
What does it mean to gird up the loins of our mind?
Well, I think when he's talking about gird up the loins of our mind is that we have the mind of Christ, mm-hmm. that we are in Scripture, that we are learning God's word, that when we, you know, what does Paul, he talks about in Romans chapter 12, he said, in order for us to be transformed, we are transformed by the renewing of our minds. Mm-hmm. And the only way we can have our mind renewed is to know the word of God.
Yeah.
And through his word, that's how we're transformed. And so when Amen. Our minds are renewed, we are transformed into the people God wants us to be.
Amen. And it's through the Scripture that we learn God's truth. It's all God's revealed truth. But there are things that we otherwise would not know. I mean, there are things that you just cannot get anywhere else but the Scripture. And that's why, like in Romans chapter 12, Paul says, renew your mind. And, you know, the Bible also says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Because beliefs begat behavior. If you want to be able to change your life, change your behavior, well, change what you believe and shape what you believe by what God's word says. Verse 14, this is precious. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. That's Leviticus 11:44. You know, I preached Sunday morning on Luke 6:46, where Jesus says, and this is very convicting, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things I say?
Right. You know, obedience is it's one of the marks of our faith. That's really how you know, that's one of the tests of our faith. Is, am I going to be obedient to the Lord? Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments.
Yes. Yes. I think about John 10:14. Jesus said, I know my sheep, and my sheep hear my voice. Folks,
they follow me, yeah.
Exactly. If you're a Christian, I'm just going to say, we're supposed to live like it.
That's right.
And one of the things that I think we show the world, the value, the reality, the importance of our faith, is that when they see that it is the priority in our lives. Well, we're going to take a break. Dr. Stephen Evans is our guest from First Baptist Carthage. Alex McFarland here exploring the Word. Your calls and questions after this break and prayer requests. So stay with us.
AFA Action takes attacks on the family seriously. The enemies of the family constantly employ new tactics to try to sneak past our radar. They know if we stand together, their evil plans will fail. Your gift to AFA Action allows us to stay vigilant against their onslaught. And if you give this month, you'll receive access to the Cultural Institute video, When Your Faith is Illegal, by Frank Harbor on AFA Stream as our thanks. You can make your gift today at afaaction.net.
Don't stop praying. Don't stop calling on Jesus' name. Keep on pounding on heaven's door. Let your knees well out the floor. Don't stop believing. Cause mountains move with just a little faith. And your Father's heard every single word you're saying. So don't stop praying.
Don't stop praying. Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Alex McFarland here in the study with Stephen Evans, First Baptist Carthage. By the way, we start at 6 p.m. tonight, and what is the name of the school where we are?
We just call it the Old Carthage Elementary School.
Beautiful auditorium. We had a great crowd last night. Come on out, folks. You've got time to get here. We start at 6, and there's going to be fantastic music, and I'll be preaching. What a great honor. But you know, really, Stephen, one of the things I'm loving about this Leake County Crusade, just the fellowship and the Spirit of God. And what's the name of the gentleman from the Mississippi Baptist Convention? We met him Sunday night.
Don Lum.
Yeah. Please convey our thanks. I know he
sure will.
This.
He did. He actually came twice during the summer months and did counselor training for us.
Okay. Well.
And just talked to us a lot about what we needed to do if someone came down and wanted to make a decision and how to respond and that. And Don's a great guy. I've known Don for years.
Amen.
And he's served our convention well.
Well, folks, that's my prayer request, no matter where you are, that you would pray for this Lord to move, and people will continue to make a decision for Christ. And we are going to take prayer requests. By the way, Bert Harper's traveling. He'll be back in a couple of days. But we're going to enlist the help of our producer board op, Brent Austin. Now, Brent, do we have some prayer requests, my dear friend?
We do. We've got several on the board right now.
Okay. Tell us where we're going to go first.
Let's go first to Mary in Tennessee. Mary, thank you for calling.
Yes, Mary? I was calling for my friend of mine named Mary has cancer, and she was readmitted to the hospital 2 days ago, so we need prayer for her. Also, I just got a letter in the mail from the International Fellowship of Christian Jews, and they're needing prayer and support for people in Israel that are and former Soviet Union that are dealing with hardships, as well as around the world in general right now.
Oh, wow. Mary, thank you for sharing that. And tell me, what's the name of your friend again that went in the hospital with cancer?
Her name is Mary, same as mine.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to pray. By the way, the number is 888-589-8840. I know I was on a show Friday night about the persecution of Christians and Jewish people in Israel. And Pastor Stephen, would you lead us in a word of prayer for this individual named Mary? And just for in the Ukraine, the Middle East, I mean, there's instability around the world. And just for the safety of the church and people who need to come to Christ as well, would you pray for us?
Yes, I'd be glad to. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you this afternoon and lifting up our friend Mary. Lord, we know that she has cancer right now and Lord's very sick. And we just, Lord, we know that you can do all things, that nothing with you is impossible, that you can heal this sweet lady if you choose to. And so, God, we ask you on her behalf, we intercede on her behalf today, that you would touch her body and you would heal her. We also pray for our friends in Israel,
yes,
and the Middle East, and we pray for our friends all around the world that, Lord, are in places of conflict, especially countries where Christians are being persecuted. And God, we just pray that, Lord, you'd bring peace. But Lord, we know ultimately we'll never see peace in our world until people accept the Prince of Peace into their hearts. And so, Lord, we lift this prayer request to you, Lord. Pray that you'd honor it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well said. Brent Austin, where do we go next?
Let's go to Deborah in North Carolina. Deborah, thank you for calling.
Okay. Hey, this is Deborah. Could you hear me?
Yes, it's welcome.
All right. Thank you, sir. I'm just praying for myself. I'm in grad school and, you know, struggling a little bit here. And just I was about to drop the class, but a friend said don't do it. And so I don't want to drop it, but I know the Lord told me, you know, to be there in seminary. And so just pray that my understanding, I need some wisdom. And
amen. Deborah, we are going to pray for you in just a minute. And hang in there. You can do this. You can do all things through Christ who gives you strength, Philippians 4:13. And I thank you for sharing. We're going to pray for you to hang in there and succeed in just a moment. But thank you. Brent, let's queue up another prayer request, if we may.
All right. How about Lynn in Arkansas? Lynn, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Yeah. I am praying for flooding in our area. It's not bad yet, but we have gotten a lot of rain prior to this, and now we're in another trend of that. And they have been doing a lot of building here, and it's just the infrastructure problems. But And I also want to pray for a woman named Janet at work who has cancer, who's a single person, and it's always hard to take everything on yourself, by yourself.
Sure.
So I
Lynn,
pray
thank
for
you
help
for sharing
for her.
That. Yes. I'm going to lead us now on these prayer requests. And folks, if you want to call in, Tuesday is our day of prayer. It's 888-589-8840. Let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you and we lift up these prayer requests. And Deborah calling in and Lynn, Lord, we need you. We are a feeble, fragile people, and we need your help. I do pray for our sister Deborah as she's taken this graduate class. Lord, give her the strength, give her the perseverance and the wisdom to stay with it and not to throw in the towel just yet. Help her, and Lord, remind her that her strength comes from you, and her wisdom and her intellect is a gift from you. So, Lord, I want to thank you in advance. I know what this is like. I praise you in Jesus' name that Deborah will pass this class, probably make an A, and that you're going to use this to stretch her and strengthen her for you, and so she'll be victorious in this academic pursuit. Lord, for Lynn's prayer request, Lynn in Arkansas, Lord, first of all, I pray for Janet, this co-worker with cancer. Please, Lord, heal her. We lift her up to you, the great physician. And then the rains and the possible flooding. Lord, my home state of North Carolina, exactly 1 year ago, we were having tragic flooding. So we know what this is like. Please, if you would, Lord, spare Arkansas from devastating floods. And in the weather and the climate, Lord, just intervene on behalf of people. And we praise you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Brent Austin, where do we go next?
Yes, sir. Next is Ethan in Tennessee.
Ethan, welcome.
Thank you, sir. I was just going to ask prayer for my mom. She has cancer. Starts her chemo treatment Thursday, and it's been a very difficult time for our family the last few weeks. We've had some other deaths of people in our church, and we just have gone through a pretty difficult time, and I just want to ask prayer for her, strength for my dad, and all of our family. Thank you.
Amen. Ethan, what is your mother's first name, if you don't mind me asking?
Yes, sir. It's Nikki. I've called in two or three times here lately asking for prayer for her, and
sure.
I sure do appreciate them. Keep on coming.
Amen. Well, thank you for trusting us with that prayer request. And folks, I want us to pray for Nikki, and let's agree together in prayer that God is going to give a good report and she'll be healed. Ethan, thanks for sharing that. Brent, let's get another prayer request, if we may.
Next up is John in Alabama. John, thanks for calling Exploring the Word.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate you taking my call. I'm on a 10-hour road trip right now to be with my dad. He has leukemia and was put in the hospital today. He's battling for his life. Please pray for him and our family. If Amen. Not, give him the strength to fight this and get through it. And give us the strength to support him in this terrible time. My mother, Amen. she's in bad health as well. She's battling her heart condition and some other conditions that limits her mobility, so she can't do a whole lot. She relies on my stepdad for everything. So please pray for our family.
What's his first name, if you don't mind me asking?
His first name is Mark, and my mom's name is Melinda, and I just ask that you pray for our family, and I'm trying to find work closer to home so I can help take care of them in this awful time of need, so please pray for me as well. Thank you.
John, you got it. I'm profoundly honored you would call in. Pastor Stephen, if you would pray, Ethan's mother, Nikki, and then Mark and Melinda that John has lifted up, and for John's employment. Stephen Evans is going to lead us now, folks.
God, we Lord, I can sense the concern in this brother's heart as he was on the radio just a moment ago talking to us and sharing this prayer need with us. And I just pray, Father, that you would touch his father, Mark, mm-hmm. his mother. I know that she's not in good health, and Lord, having to take care of someone who's so sick, I know that's difficult. And I just pray that, God, you just give him peace in his heart right now. I just pray that, Lord, you would give him a peace that passes all understanding. That, Lord, you would somehow take that worry and that concern away to know that, Lord, you are in control. And that, Lord, you're going to touch his father. That you're going to minister in his life. That, Lord, you're going to receive glory from it regardless. We also pray for Nikki. That, Lord, you would just... touch her in a special way. Yeah. Also be the great physician in her life, as Alex said a moment ago. Lord, really, all our hope is in you. Mm-hmm. And so we lift these dear brothers and sisters, to you today. Yes. That God, you would just manifest your presence in their life, that yes. they would know, that they would feel your closeness, your nearness, that, Lord, you would just give them comfort during these difficult days. And that, Lord, you would give them the ability to see the light at the end of the tunnel. And God, we're going to thank you in advance for all you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And Ethan and John, it's just a great honor. It's very humbling that you would entrust yes. us with those prayer requests. This is Exploring the Word. Alex McFarland, Stephen Evans, Brent Austin is there at AFR helping us. Brent, more prayer requests and or Bible questions.
I have a prayer request from Wendy in Iowa. Wendy, go ahead.
Hi. I was calling because I need prayer for my brother. He's in California, and he's locked up because of mental illness, and he doesn't know Christ. So I need you guys to pray for him.
Amen. Wendy, if you don't mind, what is your brother's name, please?
His first name is Anthony.
Anthony. Sure. Absolutely. We're going to pray for him, and we're going to pray that he would come to know Christ. I appreciate you sharing that. We're going to pray in just a moment. Brent, let's try to get another prayer request in, if we may.
Okay. Next up is Cheryl in Texas.
Okay. Cheryl, welcome.
Thank you. I have my niece's husband has ALS and is... And he's been not expected to be here much longer. He sleeps most of the time.
Alex, I think we're having problems on here. Our prayer request is for a friend with late-stage ALS.
Gotcha. Late-stage ALS. Okay. Let me pray, and then folks, join with us in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, so often our prayer requests are about physical needs, as in Cheryl's niece's husband that has ALS, and so we do pray for your intervention there. And Lord, where the doctors are limited, Lord, we know you're unlimited, and you are the great healer. So we lift them up. I lift up Wendy's brother, Anthony, out there in California. And we pray in Jesus' name for physical healing. But Lord, we also pray for a spiritual touch. Lord, especially I pray for Anthony to get saved. Holy Spirit, speak to his heart. And Lord, I pray, like we always pray for lost people, keep them alive physically till they could be born spiritually. Lord, we pray that Anthony would hunger to be right with you, that you would give him clarity of thought and let him realize that Jesus loves him and Jesus died on the cross for him. Lord, I pray for the needs of the man in Texas, the man in California, and no doubt, Lord, there are just countless others, and we can think of those around us that need Christ. We think of those around us that have illnesses. Lord, we need you. And the good news is that when we call out to you, you respond. So we call out to you now. We look to you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Brent, do we have time maybe for one more prayer request?
No, but I've got one from John in Arkansas. He's asking a prayer request for his wife's uncle, and Alexis is having marital troubles. She posted on Facebook.
Well, I hear that music. So, folks, John in Arkansas, Alexis, they're with marital problems. And again, of course, the crusade tonight. Stephen Evans, thanks for being with us.
Man, thank you for having me. I really enjoyed this.
And thank you, Brent Austin, for helping run the board. We've got just such a great crew. Folks, pray for the American Family Radio Network. You know, everywhere I go, airports all over America, North America, people come up and they say what this ministry means to them, and you're a great part of it, and we're thankful for each and every one of you. Folks, we love you, we pray for you, and stay tuned to American Family Radio, but most of all, tell people about Jesus. We'll see you tomorrow.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.